to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're here with Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly, well, kind of weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Ali, joined by Cameron.
Hello, it's technically weekly, like...
Yeah, but we haven't done it because we've been doing podcasts of interviews.
But there's still been a content. It just hasn't been our content. It hasn't been our lovely, rich, raspberry voices.
I prefer boysenberry.
Oh, okay. Is it because it's got boys in it? Because you love boys?
Hot take.
Hot takes. Elliot loves boys. Don't
now,
we all?
Cameron, we are going to be talking about video game boycotts, but before we get to that, some exciting news for those who haven't been following our social media pages is that Checkpoint is now an award-winning show.
Yes, we are award-winning. I'm currently holding the award. It's from the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, so the CBAA, which is a national association that is about community radio. As you know, we are a community radio program and about bringing the voice of the community to the people. And we have been awarded the 2019 Award for Excellence in Innovative Programming and Content.
Yay! This is where we need like a round of applause kind of sound effect, although we don't do that for Intimate, so it's just going to be me awkwardly clapping in the background.
Like you literally, it's just a button over there, but okay. But also I'm worried that you'd press it and it would play somewhere else within the studio, knowing your luck with how that system works. But yeah, so we are now an award-winning program, which is really exciting. We were up against some great other competition, and everyone was really deserving, but it just means a lot for this show to be recognized for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if people don't know, we put in a lot of work to this show to bring it to you. You know, there are three podcasts a week. Most very successful podcasts are usually one a week.
Yeah,
we do a live show. We have to do all the planning, the programming. We, you know, edit the audio. We get guests. We come up with topics. We coordinate our writers. Like, a lot of work goes into what, especially, you know, everyone, but especially Luke, Elliot, and I, as the kind of producers of the show, put in a lot of our own personal time into it. So to be recognized means a lot.
Yeah,
and we're just very thankful and we're blown away.
Yeah, and like on behalf of myself and Luke as well, I know he shares this sentiment, but we're super proud of, you know, Checkpoint and what we've managed to achieve, but also really humbled by this and the kind of positive reception we've had about Checkpoint and about our fans and what they enjoy from Checkpoint and even moments like PAX Australia and talking to people and getting that perspective. Like it's been a roller coaster, and I guess at least the last month or two has been unbelievable for us kind of personally. Like,
I think for us, we understand that there's an audience and people are listening, but it definitely doesn't sound for us. It still always feels like we're shouting into a void and we're not sure who's taking it in. To discover that at PAX, someone came to our booth and asked specifically to meet me because they want to meet me because they like that. It's mind-boggling. That's insane. Like, I never thought that would be a thing. And so to have that followed by this award, we are blown away. And you guys have no idea what your support and, you know, what this entire community has done for us is crazy.
It means a lot. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. And I hope you do enjoy our content. Obviously, somebody out there does. They decided to give us an award. I still don't know why, but that is fine. We'll move on from that.
Luke, Elliot, and I have a few times now greeted each other as, hello, award-winning producer.
Yeah, from now on, we're going to refer to Checkpoint as the award-winning show. Just to, rub it in. Yeah.
Everyone else's face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got to make sure that people are aware.
But hopefully, if we don't go so far, that people boycott us. Look at me. Look at a segue bringing us
this
back.
This is why we win the awards, Cameron. It's segues like that.
It's segues where I don't, you know, it's so smooth. Like, how would people know it's a segue if I hadn't pointed out that it's a heavy segue? We're talking about boycotting. Because obviously, boycotting is something that I think has become pretty common to talk about, but it's very different in execution.
Yeah, so obviously some of this conversation is coming about because of the controversy surrounding Blizzard. Now, obviously, we've talked about this a bit, and sorry if you're sick of hearing it, but whatever, like, this conversation continues happening, and we've heard so many people, like, hashtag, you know, boycott Blizzard was trending on Twitter for ages, and I've heard so many people, you know, parrot that sentiment of, like, you know, we can't allow Blizzard to get away with these transgressions, speaking about, like, the way they've handled the Hong Kong situation, and the Hearthstone player who spoke out about, you know, the human rights of people who live in Hong Kong, and the way they've treated that, it's been crazy, and the reception to that has been insane, and obviously people are boycotting Blizzard. But what does that really mean, right? Because it does make me think of, you know, well, let's go back in time, look at the history of video game boycotts, because there have been a lot, right? I mean, it almost feels like any small thing, there's a group of people who are going to boycott because of it. But does it ever actually amount to anything? And honestly, a lot of the time, it feels like it doesn't.
Well, you got to understand as well, boycotts don't always come from also a noble location. Like, boycotting Blizzard, I understand, has come from somewhere where people are concerned about a human rights issue and about the freedom of speech that comes with that human rights issue. But the boycotts I hear more about, and the boycotts you hear about in the media so often, is, you know, this mother group is boycotting Beauty and the Beast because at one point two men touch. Like, you hear about that all the time. You hear about, like, ethics groups. They like to call themselves ethics groups. Mm-hmm. Boycotting content because it is being, usually, progressive. Most of the time, progressive. Sometimes, you know, you get it because, you know, boycotting because of bad things such as whitewashing, you know, sexism, all that kind of stuff. But I find there's a lot more boycotts out there for things like boycott it because all the Ghostbusters are ladies now. Better boycott it.
Yeah, that was a pretty stupid one.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I am in two minds on something like this. Like, at the end of the day, I think consumers need to send messages to these people when they do something that they disagree with, right? And the best way to do that is by voting with your wallet, not spending money, not engaging in the activity. And that's a fantastic way to have, you know, have your consumer rights heard and send a message to these people. Because the bottom line is, these businesses, what they care about is money.
Yep.
And if you've found a way to take that kind of revenue away from them, then you're leaving a powerful impact. Having said that, the flip side is, you know, those mother groups boycotting some movie because it's got, you know, two gay people kissing in it. It's like, well, what impact are you actually having? Virtually nothing.
Yeah.
Like, so we've got to take a step back and realize that, you know, these boycotts often aren't, they're not getting the traction they require to leave any kind of impact whatsoever. And even though this kind of boycott Blizzard thing has been circulating for so long and has been so loud and so powerful, I can almost guarantee that when Overwatch 2 releases, they're not going to see a dent in the sales numbers. They're not going to be like, oh no, we made a mistake. They're going to be like, oh, players don't care. They're buying our game anyway.
Yeah, and I feel that we're already seeing that with it releasing on Switch. You know, it didn't see this sudden, like, peel off where it had no, you know, effect on its sales. I'm sure it didn't go crazy on Switch. It never would have, I don't believe. But I've always been this person who I hate hearing whinging about content, but then people still consuming it. The biggest example of this is people going, I'm so sick of superhero movies. And then they post that they're at, you know, the latest superhero movie.
This feels like a call out. Is this somebody on your, like, Facebook?
Oh, it's hundreds of people. Yeah, there's all these people being like, oh, I'm so sick of you. It's that thing. You see a lot of people get enraged about perhaps how, like, a female character is portrayed in a video game. And then, lo and behold, I see them all playing it. I'm like, are you actually angry, though? Because you're still playing it. Like, you're doing all this hot air. The only way that this works is if you vote with your wallet. But the problem is, it needs to be an effective mass movement for it to really be a blip in the sand.
Yeah, That's nobody has ever said that in their life.
I just made my new saying, and I'm going to say it all the time.
Well, we got that to look forward
to. Blip in the sand.
What even is a blip in the sand?
It's when rain hits the sand and it goes bloop.
Oh, okay.
Blip in the sand.
Because it's
very small,
mean,
like, moment of just sand going bloop.
These boycotts we're seeing, to move on from Blip in the Sand.
I'll never move on from Blip in the Sand.
These boycotts we're seeing, they're often out of convenience, right? They're boycotts of convenience. They're like, I'm going to boycott this property, but only when I want to. Like, as soon as, like, if we take the video game kind of element from it, I will boycott this company until they release something I want to play. And then the boycott stops because I really want to play that thing, which isn't a boycott.
Which, I'm sorry, but I already saw that this morning. The amount of people who posted being like, oh my god, new Overwatch. And I'm like, a week ago you were talking about, like, the people at Blizzard need, like, the, you know, you need to do a mass walkout of the staff to send a message. And now they're like, oh my god, Trace has got a new jacket. And I'm like, what?
It's the same thing where I saw comments, and I spent a lot of time on platforms like Reddit. You spent a lot of time on platforms like Twitter. So we're probably seeing different sides of the community, but they're, I'm assuming, having similar sentiment. But seeing comments on Reddit that are like, oh yeah, I'm participating in the boycott of Blizzard. I've already uninstalled World of Warcraft and Hearthstone and StarCraft, but I can't do it to Overwatch. I just like that game too much.
So it means nothing.
And then it's like, what do you mean? That's not a boycott. You can't even, like, boycott. That's not a boycott. That just, to me, says that you play Overwatch and you don't play the other games. So you're doing the exact same thing you were doing last week. This time, you're just pretending like you have high moral standings.
It's also really funny with gaming. So here's the thing with gaming versus, I think, other things. So you say, I'm boycotting a movie. You don't pay to see the movie. You never see it, right? You say you're boycotting a fashion label. You never buy that fashion label. You say you're boycotting a game that you possibly already own. Let's be honest. A lot of people already own Overwatch and now are saying boycott. They go in this sentiment and then go in their heads, well, that means that I don't give them any more money, but I already own this, so I should just play it. But that is then adding to an algorithm that means that they're getting, like, they're still getting the amount of bodies in seats that they require for that game to still be doing what it needs. Like, yes, you may not be spending money, but you're giving them...
You're still supporting the game.
It's still support. It's that same way that people, like, will be like, well, to bring this into the gay world for our gay listeners, all of you, when people say that they're boycotting Drag Race because of RuPaul's, you know, transphobic comments and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
So they will not be paying to watch it, but they'll download it and watch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you're still then, but then they'll tweet about it. They'll have conversations about it. I'm like, well, then you are giving in to the you're free advertising. Like, you are giving out information and the spread of information on something. So you're not assisting the boycott in any way. Yes, they're not getting the numbers of you viewing it through whatever streaming service you view it through, but you're still aiding the brand by just talking about it.
You're part of the culture. You're part of the conversation.
You're like, the zeitgeist.
I've seen it even worse. And like, specifically, I remember comments about Drag Race and stuff, and even like events in Melbourne, and like comments of people being like, "Oh, don't support this event. It's run by, you know, homophobe or whatever, or they've said this thing in the past. Don't support it." And then somebody will comment back, but it's like something like, "But you watch RuPaul's Drag Race," and they're like, "Oh yeah, sure, but that's okay because I pirate it. I don't pay for it.
I love this." So that's okay. You and I saw, I know the exact comment you're talking about, and I remember the day we saw it and you got so angry.
And it drives me mad. I'm like, well, no, no, no. You can't just pirate something as your form of protest because, like, screw you. Like, if your morals and your ethics are that this thing can't be supported because of the transgressions, then don't engage in it.
Yep.
Because if you're... It's just, it sounds like you're making excuses to engage in the content you enjoy while sitting on your moral high throne and yelling at other people who do the same thing by engaging in content they enjoy. And it's like, no, screw you. You don't get to have the best of both worlds. Don't engage in content if you genuinely disagree with the morals behind the creators. Mm-hmm. And I think people who stand by their morals and actually boycott stuff, all power to them. Like, genuinely all power to you, because you're probably a stronger person than I am. I'm fully, like, able to admit to the fact that if there is, you know, something that I want to engage in, there is this, you know, this balance happening in my mind between, well, do I do it? Do I support? Because there are these bad things happening within this space as well. And it's always a balancing act. And I'm never going to be like the person who pretends that my morals dictate every single decision I make, because at the end of the day, we're all human and we're all going to make excuses for ourselves to engage in the things we want to engage in. And just don't be a hypocrite about it. It's okay. Sometimes we do things because we enjoy doing them, and that doesn't make you a terrible person all the time.
No, it doesn't. I think it's quite interesting for me personally with Blizzard. having been a fan of Overwatch, having been a fan of Heroes of the Storm, and having been a fan of Diablo, these are all games that earlier this year I stopped playing. I dropped off. I didn't play them anymore. And so when the idea of boycotting came along, I was like, well, I don't need to because I don't currently have an intake of any Blizzard content. And I'm like, and I'm not raring to jump back on. Like, yes, I'm excited by some stuff that's come up with Overwatch and Diablo and all that, and it looks very exciting, but I'm not like, oh my god, I must get that. I must play it. I'm sitting here going, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I'm at this point in my mind where I'm like, I'm not actively boycotting, and I don't know if I would if I were still playing the stuff. And I'm in a position where I'm like, well, I can't make a decision on that. I don't have all the information of my mindset at the time. You know, the last time I played Overwatch was, in fact, like the week before everything blew up. I had like one session with a friend, and that's been like maybe the third time I've played this year. So when the idea of boycotting comes up, I don't know where I stand on it. I don't know what I would do regarding Blizzard specifically. And it's very interesting. And like I said, I'm not raring to get back into any of their content. I'm actually, I'm blessed by the fact that, you know, Destiny is no longer under Activision either. Destiny was taken away from the away from the BlizzCon launcher. I have no reason to open like the Blizz launcher at all. Mm. Battle.net, whatever they're calling it these days. So I'm kind of like, well, I'm not ingesting that content anyway. But I would never say I'm boycotting them. I'm not here going, I'm boycotting Blizzard. Because even if I am actively not taking part in Blizzard, I'm not making the conscious decision. So I don't get to have the moral high ground of saying,
yeah,
I am making a boycott.
And look, I think it's different for you and I as well, Cam. And maybe we need to take in that perspective as well. Because a lot of the times when we talk about games or get games for review or whatever, or engage in the gaming community, it's our opinion that is the power here, rather than your average consumer where it's the money is the power.
Mm.
Like, we're not spending money on a review code for a game, right? It's our influence and our voice that matters as far as the reception to that game.
Yeah, but I do still spend money on games. I want to make that
very clear. Oh, 100%. We spend way too much money on games.
Yes, we do.
It's crazy. But my point being that a lot of the times, a boycott for me doesn't make sense in a gaming landscape, but for your average gamer, it 100% does. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my negativity on the subject to reflect the fact that I don't think people should boycott things they disagree with. I think that's a powerful tool. As we said earlier, it's so powerful if done well. You've got to actually do it though. Stick to your guns. Like, go with it.
I'm a big believer, and I've thought this as well with a lot of content that people take in. You don't need to engage in everything. You need to actually be stricter on yourself and dictate what it is you enjoy. There are certain things. Like, let's talk about Death Stranding.
Okay.
I am not actively boycotting it, but I'll never touch that game. I will never play that game. I know 100% I never will.
Why? And it's
because I don't agree with a lot of what Kojima's done in the past. I don't like his depiction of women. I don't like what he does. And so I never played Phantom Pain because of that. Mm. When I saw what he was doing with Quiet, I went, this is my tapping off point. And as such, I now no longer have an interest in Kojima's content. I would not call that a boycott because I'm not creating a movement. I don't feel this is a movement.
Mm-hmm.
But I have said, this isn't for me. I do not agree with the way this man works. I do not want to partake in this content anymore. And that is a cutoff line for
me. Would you ever involve yourself in a movement like a boycott Blizzard or something like that? Like, is that something you could foresee yourself doing or have done in the past?
It's hard because I personally, for me, do not believe boycotts work.
Mm.
I don't think they work at all. I think there is, it's tricky because I feel like there's, you cannot unite an audience. Like, look at, we should all be pointing at Fallout 76 and being like, oh my God, Fallout first, that'll never work. But there are people who are paying it. There are people who bought it. We can't.
There are people who love that game.
There's no way to, like,
hours on end.
You can't get everyone. Because that's the kind of thing where, that is probably the closest thing. If I were to, again, I don't like Bethesda games, so I don't partake in their content outside of their third party stuff from like Arkane Studio and that kind of stuff. Like their first party stuff, I'm not interested in. And I actively do not partake in it anymore. So Fallout 76 comes out, and I'm already like, well, I don't want to partake in that. But if I was perhaps part of that, and this whole thing happened with Fallout first, and someone was like, we're going to boycott it, I'd be like, yeah, and I'll throw my voice behind that, because that's bullshit.
Hmm.
So, you know, Blizzard, would I boycott Blizzard? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it's a mixed problem there, because for me saying that I boycott Fallout is so much easier for me, because I don't enjoy their games.
Hmm.
I enjoy Blizzard games. And I also, as bad as everything that Blizzard has done and as poorly as they've handled it, I, from a perspective of maybe from, like, from a trying to be, see both sides from a journalistic point of view, I'm kind of like, I'm trying to understand from a business perspective what Blizzard's trying to do. Do I think they did it badly? Yes, it was stupid and they've made some really poor decisions. Do I think they're malicious? No, I think they're idiots.
Mm.
And so I think like something like the Fallout first feels money grabbing and really gross to me. Whereas I think people freaked out over the Blizzard thing at their head office and didn't know what to do. And it's this area that I think they made some really big mistakes and now need to own those.
I'm
in a hard point. Like, yes, maybe I would. I'm not.
I'm so on the other side of the fence on that. For me, something like what Fallout 76 is doing with the first subscription seems so banal and silly. And it's like, well, if you want to engage in that, do it. Like, it's a subscription. You don't have to. Whereas the kind of statements Blizzard have made, and statement being like their actions rather than the words they've said. But their actions on that Hong Kong thing and the fact that they're not even backing down from it now and they're still teetering around it, that to me, that is a widespread issue within the core of that company, that they're putting human rights below that of money. And I think so many businesses would put human rights below the factor of money, yet it's happening and it's publicly happening with Blizzard, and for us not to voice our concerns over that, that is so much bigger than anything Fallout is doing.
Oh, I definitely think voice it, but here's my counteraction to why I think I have a problem with one and not the other, is the fact that what Fallout's doing is business that games have been doing for years, and they should know better. I feel games are struggling with the idea of existing in a political space now that the people who played them as children have grown up and adults. They've not adapted well into that space yet. And I think that we're seeing so many teething issues on how games handle political areas. And this isn't a conversation about was Blizzard right or wrong. I need to make it really clear, because I don't want people to think that this is a pro-Blizzard statement.
Pro-China.
This is, oh, cool. This is definitely like, I have been 100% behind the movements in Hong Kong, and I 100% think what Blizzard did is wrong. But I think that it is from a place of just being dickheads.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to say. Whereas I feel like from a business perspective, Fallout has been doing business for, Bethesda's been doing business for decades now. Mm. They know business. This is bad business.
Yeah.
And this is malicious business.
And obviously,
anyway, away from this.
Yeah. I mean, to go back away from Blizzard specifically, obviously cancel culture has become a bigger and bigger and bigger thing, right? And that is a form of boycott, right? You cancel somebody, you're not engaging in their content, and you refuse to allow them to flourish as a creator.
Again, if cancel culture actually worked, I wouldn't have had to listen to that terrible Kanye album he released last week.
I mean, it's even worse when you look at people like Chris Brown still thriving within the industry. Thriving. And it's crazy because he's like, say whatever you want about Kanye, but Chris Brown's transgressions were so public, so known, so one-sided. So there's nobody on Chris Brown's side. There's nobody.
And the only real ramifications he saw wasn't Chris Brown locked from entering Australia because of his background?
Yeah, that probably happened.
I believe he was. Yeah. And from what I'm understanding, we're the only country that did it, but apparently they made it more about other charges instead of the domestic abuse that he was, you know, charged with.
Yeah. And the only reason that is so public is because of who the, you know, abused was.
Yep.
There's like that whole thing could have gone in so many different ways. And to think that Chris Brown still thrives as an artist now, obviously these kind of movements, they're not getting the traction they need. And sometimes I don't know why.
Yep.
Sometimes I have no idea. It's like, who are these people who support Chris Brown and go to his concerts and stuff? Like, who are these young female fans who seem to still love Chris Brown despite what he's done? And if people are willing to forgive somebody like that, of course they're going to forgive a video game company. Yep. I mean, most of these boycotts we're seeing, I remember one for Modern Warfare 2 when that game released, not the reboot. Not the reboot that's happened, but Modern Warfare 2, there was this hilarious meme passed around or image passed around across social medias where it was like this Steam group called Boycott Modern Warfare 2, We Want Dedicated Servers. Right, and this Steam group of thousands of people or hundreds of people, and the screen grab is of that group after the game has launched, and over 50% of the players in that group are currently playing Modern Warfare 2. They're in the Boycott Modern Warfare 2 group playing Modern Warfare 2, and it's like, well, obviously, these people who are willing to shout from the rooftops that they hate something this game is doing, the reason they're so passionate is because they love the game. They love Call of Duty. They love Modern Warfare. These are the number one supporters. Of course, they're going to buy the game.
Oh, yeah. They definitely all bought the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And so all of a sudden, you realize the conundrum we're in. People only... the people who are the loudest and the most concerned and the ones who get the angriest are those who are passionate, dedicated fans who will buy whatever is put out there. And if they're not fans and they're part of the movement, they're not buying the thing anyway because they weren't fans. So I don't know who this cancel culture and boycotts, what they're really for. It seems to be like they're for other people to take notice and hopefully get involved while you yourself can do whatever you want and still buy the games and engage in whatever content you want.
I think cancel culture is something that has come from people wanting to hold everyone accountable for everything they've ever done and find fault in others. And I think this is a big thing. Cancel culture, I think, outside of people who have genuinely done something wrong, such as domestic abuse, you have people who have said something maybe 10 years ago. And since then, their actions and who they are as a person has changed, but they find this one thing. Here's this one tweet you made 10 years ago where you said that you don't like chicken, and chickens are important to society. Cancelled. And it's this thing where it's like, well, are you looking at faults of others to create cancel culture so that you are able to ignore the idea of change and being a better person because you're having trouble doing that yourself?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is it's easier to sign a petition and join a group than it is to actually change your behavior.
Oh, get a change.org on me and get me cancelled already.
Let's cancel Cameron.
Cancel Cameron. Change.org. Cancel Cameron.
Yes, but that has been our conversation about video game boycotts. Historically, it hasn't worked in the past, but I think we're probably on the same level here. I think we both agree that boycotting comes from a good place a lot of the times.
Yes.
Not all the time. A lot of the times. And I really appreciate people who participate in it, but I can't help but see it not work over and over and over and over again.
I've never seen it work. What I have seen work, and here's the thing that I need to say, is like change and social issues and all that, the way we get to places is by being messy and loud and getting our voices out there. You have things like the Yes Vote happen because we were on the streets and we were making it clear where we were coming from. And you've got right now a lot of protests happening around the climate. What's the word I'm looking for?
Climate change?
Yeah, but climate
crisis?
Crisis, that's the word, climate crisis. And you've got all these people being like, why can't they just be polite about it? It's like, you're being polite and doing something like boycotting, I don't think it has results. Results are getting in the street, getting loud, and making sure you're heard. And
it's
not
all
just
of it,
doing
isn't it? It's making sure, like I can mock people for signing petitions all I want, but petitions work. They get your voice across, but it's about doing what you believe in. And if that is attending a strike, signing a petition, joining a boycott, doing it all, that's monumental. That is people, you know, using their voice and hopefully achieving change. I just think a lot of the times in the video game sector,
I think boycotts
are
the weakest.
It's so banal and weak.
I think boycotts are the weakest form of protest because I don't think anyone has... I love you all, but a lot of you do not have the will to stick to a boycott.
Mm.
It's been proven time and time again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's barely a drop in the water.
I don't know if Cameron, I could.
It's a blip in the sand.
It's a blip in the sand. I don't even know if I could stand by a boycott. As I said, I'm lucky enough that I don't have to have one.
Anyway, that is all the time we've got. I've been Elliot. You've been Cameron.
Yes, I have.
We've been Checkpoint Intimates.
That we have. An award-winning program.
Award-winning program.
Excellence in innovative programming and content.
That's us. This show is so innovative.
So innovative.
But yeah, if you do like this podcast, please make sure you're subscribed and feel free to rate us as well. That really helps us grow and find a new audience as well. So iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, but you know that because you're already listening.
And please don't boycott us.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're kind of small, so I feel like a boycott could actually hurt us.
But we just said boycotts don't matter.
Yeah, but like they don't matter to multi-million dollar companies. Billion-dollar companies.
That is all the time we've got. Cameron, thank you for joining me. Wow.
Thank you, Elliot. I think we've did this bit already.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're doing it again.
Should we just trail off awkwardly?
Yeah, just like, bye.
And bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.